was the first hand to go up. You're welcome.
It was up here last Sunday, distracting me the whole time I was preaching. Yeah. It is some kind of a hard rock candy that lasts forever. The old Willy Wonka, or whatever, what they call that, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from the 70s, they had that everlasting gobstopper on that. Okay. Yeah. I can't keep it straight. I've only watched the 70s one, so. Oh. How many of you are enjoying the sunshine? How many of you loved the snow this last week? Excellent, excellent. I'm glad to see that there are at least more than three of us. It was beautiful. I enjoyed snow blowing. We went to the other side of the state. We were planning on visiting Karen's grandma. Many of you were praying for her. We sure appreciate that. But we went over there, and before we went on Friday, I snow blowed. And told everybody over there that I pulled out my snow blower this morning. They said, "You what?" It was in the 40s and sunshine and nothing. So we know it wasn't lake effect that we got, that's for sure. But it was beautiful this week. Here in our Sunday school class, we are studying what topic? Baptist distinctives. And what does that mean? Anybody? What is the word Baptist? Okay, Dan, you raise your hand. There we go. It's what sets us apart from other denominations. Now, technically, are we a denomination? No, technically we aren't. It is a label. The name Baptist is a label for us. We talked about denominations in the sense of hierarchy, and this is where we're going to deal with some of that today, because the A stands for what? Autonomy. What does autonomy mean? It's a big word. Okay, so autonomy. There's no one else in charge of us, are there? Except for who? Jesus Christ. That's right. He is the head of the church, reminded in the book of Colossians, that it's all about him. And so as we think about that, we dealt with a couple weeks ago, the B, which stands for what? Bible, the biblical authority. The Bible is the only authority for life and practice, for faith and practice. A, autonomy of the local church. Now, it's interesting to think about that. What have we just made it through this last week? What did we just come through as a church family? Missions conference. How does autonomy of the local church affect missions and our responsibility with missions? Okay, so we choose which missionaries we are going to support. We think of Pleasant Lake Baptist Church. Do we support every missionary they support? Do they support every missionary we support? No, we have autonomy under the Lord Jesus Christ to choose whom we're going to support. There are umpteen hundred missionaries here in the States going out of the States to foreign countries. We can't support all of them. Doctrinally, could we support all of them? No. And so that's where we have to come back to. The first point of Baptist distinctives is the Bible is my only authority. You've got that in your notes. It's the only authority. It's not just authority. A lot of people take it as authority, but it's got to be the only one. And then A, autonomy of the local church. Autonomous, to be independent, sovereign, self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating. There's a lot of words in there. Self-focused. Ben, it's good to see you. But the reality of it is it's not about selfishness, is it? It's about God. Here we talk about independent or sovereign. What is a sovereign nation? What is a sovereign nation? We think about nations in the world. What is a sovereign nation? Rob? Okay, so it doesn't answer to the others. Interesting, we had some missionaries headed to to Taiwan this week. And Taiwan, I can't remember which is which. I think Taiwan is just the Republic of China, correct? And China is the People's Republic of China. So there is some differences, and yet they're still kind of connected. And so it's interesting to learn some of that this week from them. There are other nations who have been given sovereignty after Great Britain or England was responsible for them. They became a sovereign nation later on. We think about our local church. There's not some body that governs us and says, you must believe this. These are the missionaries you will support. This is how you're going to live and act. We are sovereign under Jesus Christ. We always must remember that, because the first point is the Bible is our only authority. We will continue to go back to that, because teens, without the Bible, we have no direction for life. It is the only answer that we have. Self-governing. There's no one who governs our church. These are the number of deacons you must have, and this is how we're going to do it. These are the different positions you'll have, whether it's Sunday school superintendent or clerk or treasurer. You've got to have trustees, and you've got... There's nobody who says all of that. We are self-governing. By the way, again, it's not a dictatorship of the pastor. We've talked about that somewhat. We do vote as a church family on issues. We see the Bible deals with the church as the self-governing body. Self-supporting. Is there some other institution that supports us? Who supports Jerusalem Baptist Church? Okay, we do. And even to a degree, more than just the members. Really, it is the members' responsibility, but others are able and are invited to give in the offering. But again, it goes back to what Kim just said. Members, there's an important aspect of membership, and we'll get to that with the S, saved church membership, and dealing with, do we really have to have members at church? Is there a reason we really have to have only members serve? We'll deal with some of that as we get to that point. But autonomy, self-supporting, and self-propagating. Now, that's a big word. Any of you teenagers, can you describe propagating, or have any idea what that would mean? Self-propagating. Any teenagers? Okay, we'll open it up. Any adults? Propagating. It's self-propagating. What's that? Okay, keep growing. In fact, not just growing here, but growing elsewhere. We have a responsibility to propagate the gospel, to grow it elsewhere. One of those ways we can do that is in Taiwan and Uganda. Supporting missions. Another way that we can do that is by helping struggling churches in our own area. If you did a study of like-minded Baptist churches or like-minded churches that believe our doctrines as we hold to the Bible teaches, you do an hour and a half study in our area and you begin to see how many churches can we help as a church that really could use some help. There are a number of them. Pastors who have to work full-time and they don't have as many people. I was looking through my delegation list of some of our big events for this year. And okay, so I've asked this person to do that and working through some of these things. There are some of these churches who, they don't have anybody. How can we help that church and that location grow there? I think we have a responsibility for that. Even though it's an hour and a half away, well, how do we help? There's ways we can help. Let's pray about that. And I've got some creative ideas I'd love to see us help in the future. So missionaries, local, helping churches grow, but even local church planting. Are there areas in our state, in South Central Michigan, are there areas that need solid churches? Yes. And so self-propagating, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. Tonight, we'll be beginning a new section with our kids, but really with us as a church family, of personal evangelization. What am I going to do to share the gospel? I must be faithful. So we'll talk about that some more tonight, self-propagating. What kind of Baptist church is Jeruel Baptist Church? We call ourselves an independent Baptist church. Independent, fundamental Baptist church. Why? Because no one is overseeing us. We are independent. We are not just part of another group or denomination. We aren't even just part of some other Baptist denomination. There are some Baptist churches who really do function as a denomination, whether it's in supporting missions and in so many other areas. We are an independent fundamental. And we'll talk about fundamental to a degree. We kind of talked about it when we talked about Bible as our only authority. Fundamental means I'm just going back to the basics. When you go back to the fundamentals in your sport, what do you do? Focus on the basics. If it's football, it's throwing, catching, running, kicking, those basics. And when you focus on that, you get stronger in the other areas. Well, we focus on what the Bible teaches. That's why we open up the Word of God and we look at what the Bible says. We are not in an association. Now, can we fellowship with other churches? Should we fellowship with other like-minded churches? We sure should. I'm hoping that we can do some more stuff this year with Pleasant Lake Baptist Church. Real close. Man, and there's some neat opportunities that we can do to fellowship with them. Get to know their church families. Not just Pastor Scott. But there are other church families that, man, we can get to know and encourage. And we're not all alone in this. Now, are there churches we can't fellowship with as a church family? Yes, there are. Going back to the Bible is our only authority for life. There are some who we just can't fellowship with. And that, as hard as that is sometimes and as unloving as sometimes that seems, we go back to what the Word of God says. So there are some different Baptist associations, not just fellowship. Some of them call themselves more of a fellowship, but some of them, the GARBC, what does that stand for? Anybody know? Okay, so General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. I was part of that as a kid. I didn't really know much about it, but I know our church was part of that association out there in Iowa. And again, you can associate and encourage. We want to be careful with any group that we associate with, though, that we are like-minded. Just because we have the name Baptist or the label Baptist doesn't mean we all agree, does it? So we go back to what the Word of God says. There's the Southern Baptist Convention. I've got family members who are part of that. I've got a cousin who's actually looking at being the senior pastor at a church in, I think it's Maryland now, he was telling me a couple weeks ago. And he's part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not, for a reason. We as a church family aren't, for a reason. Can I have fellowship with my cousin? As churches, could we fellowship? Probably not. There's very limited things that we can do. Because again, we go back to what are our similarities and what are our differences. Doctrine does divide. There are enough differences that we want to be cautious and careful. Not unloving. But again, we have an autonomous local church. Nobody tells us who, what missionaries we need to support. Or you just give us your missions money and we'll go send out the missionaries. We are autonomous. Acts 20 verse 28. Paul is speaking, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," speaking to the pastors, "and to all the flock," the flock would be the congregation, right, "over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, made the pastor the overseer of the local church. Under who? Jesus Christ. That passage makes it very plain and clear. Autonomy of the local church. Paul was not telling them what to do. Now, he was teaching biblical truth. They needed to respond, and he was burdened that they'd obey. But it was about the Word of God and Jesus Christ. An autonomous local church is not controlled by a hierarchy, an outside board, nor any other church. An autonomous local church is not controlled by a hierarchy, an outside board, nor any other church. Now, are there times that some churches take responsibility over other churches? And when? What? In fact, have we had an opportunity like that as a church family? Okay. That's right. Is that helpful? Is that part of self-propagating? Yeah. But then there came a point when they had to separate and be their own under responsibility. We aren't responsible for Pleasant Lake. Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ, but who on earth is responsible for Pleasant Lake? Pleasant Lake Baptist, Pastor Scott, as the overseer, and then as they choose and they follow Christ. So there comes points where we can have some responsibility, but we must be cautious, and comes to a point where it's time to separate. It's time to, you are your own entity. Church planting is a huge aspect with that. I think sometimes church plants get left alone too early. And just, I've seen pastors who have helped churches begin. And man, they were excited up front and they got behind them. And then 3 weeks in, it's okay, go, good job. and then they're drowning. Would you ever do that with your kid? You have a baby. 3 weeks in. Good job. You can feed yourself, change yourself, shower yourself. I'll let you do it. I think there's a point God gives us responsibilities to help those churches as we help to propagate the gospel. But again, they grow up. Our kids, as much as I love my kids, I hope they move out someday. Hannah, you can't live there. And she's like, I don't want to live there forever. Not because I don't want my kids there, but God has given me the responsibility to raise my kids to do what? Be independent before God. And something is unnatural if that doesn't happen. Now, we know sometimes there are other difficulties, but the same way with the local church. A satellite church, that church planting idea, an important aspect of that. A local church is defined as an organized band of baptized believers having a pastor. Today we see a big movement of house churches. Is there anything wrong technically with a house church? Not if it's a church. But many times we see house churches that really aren't churches. The Bible makes it very plain. A church needs to be organized. The autonomy of the local church. It's not just something we come to or go to or we just get together and worship. Can we worship God at home? Should we worship God at home? Yeah. And is it wrong if we invite others to come as we sing and pray or study the Bible? No. But it's an organized group of baptized believers having a pastor. Again, we'll talk about baptism and some of these other aspects as we get into the two offices. Sheep without a shepherd, they just kind of go and destroy themselves. A local church needs a pastor. Now, there are times where a local church doesn't have a pastor. They should be constantly seeking one. Now, I praise the Lord, the situation here at Jeruel was very different than some other churches that happen. When a pastor leaves, often he's gone, whether it's because God has called him away or whether it's he died. The church in Iowa, my dad pastored when I was a kid, the pastor had a brain tumor and died 2 years before my dad came. Small, struggling town. It was probably the size of Stockbridge, maybe a little smaller than Stockbridge. And they had maybe 70 when the pastor died. I think there was 14 when we came. Now, were they a church in between that time? Yes, they were organized. There were things. They were striving to have that pastor. There was that organized body of baptized believers. Was there some, even though they were part of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, there wasn't somebody, some organization that said, you've got to have this, we're going to move a pastor to you. They had to go through that and make their own decisions. Now, man, it's exciting. When we were on deputation, we got to go back to that church. And they are now full-time supporting their pastor, which is exciting, in that town. And it's neat to see what God's done in that church. And went back and seeing people that their kids came on the van route, but the parents weren't saved, and now the parents are saved. I mean, it's just so neat to see God had worked there because they were a local church organized to do the self-propagating of the gospel, growing, sharing the truth of the Word of God. The universal church, as some people call it, includes all New Testament believers, living or deceased. Sometimes you may hear it, the universal church. The Bible often talks about the body of Christ. Now, we have a local body, and that is Jeruel Baptist Church. But there are saved believers elsewhere. Where else? Okay, everywhere. I mean, man, I was part of a church in Muskegon. It was interesting. Karen's grandparents live right next to the church and her parents. And so we were right next to the church Friday evening. It wasn't like being home. That's not where we belong. It was a building. And yeah, there were memories it brought back. But it's like, that's not where we are. Every local church has that bond. And yet we had that there. But it's interesting to see that. They're a local church, we're a local church, and we're all separate, but yet we're part of the universal, if you will, the body of Christ. Believers in Him. In fact, you can't be a believer in Christ and not be in Him. He's brought us into the family of God. An autonomous Baptist church chooses its own offices or officers. Chooses its own officers. And we'll get to that. T, two offices. And what are those offices? Pastor and deacons. So an autonomous Baptist church chooses its own officers. It's not that some organization moves pastors around and says, here you go, this is where you're going to pastor now, and oh, man, you did a good job, we need you over here at this church, or man, you're doing great there, we're just going to let you grow that church to umpteen thousand or whatever. There's not an organization that says that. We are an independent, we are autonomous before Christ. Two officers in the local church, the pastors and the deacons. Baptist churches call a pastor. Wasn't there an election process, a selection and an election process here just a few years ago? And how many of you thought that took a while? Now, those of you who were here thought it took a whole lot longer than we when we found out about the church. But when we first found out in June, and the church voted the middle of November, I believe it was, that was a lengthy process. Was that good? Was that kind of a slow, lengthy process? Was that helpful? I believe so. Now, again, we don't completely understand why. I mean, Pastor Bob resigned almost the time I resigned in Muskegon. I look back and it's incredible. But God knew Drew wasn't ready for us and we weren't ready for Drew. And he had a lot of growing on both parts of us to do. But when we finally found out, and you guys heard our testimony, and we found out in June, we shared in August, and it still was a couple months, I think it was very healthy because we got to know each other. It wasn't some organization that said, here's your new pastor. And so we got to meet one Sunday when I started as your pastor. We get to know each other. That's, again, the Bible talks about the church who calls the pastor. Of course, God calls a man to be a pastor. But the church calls a pastor to be their pastor. We elect our deacons. How would our relationship with a pastor be different if he was chosen by a church hierarchy? If some church hierarchy sent a man here to be pastor, how could that relationship with that pastor be different? I think there could be less connection. Less, oh, we don't really like that guy. We didn't have any say in that. I can't listen to him. I can't go seek advice from him. There's so many different ways. But that's where, again, the local church, doesn't God always know best? Isn't it incredible to see that? God is great. So an autonomous Baptist church doesn't just choose its own officers, it exercises self-judgment. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. We have a responsibility to deal with sin where? Here. We can't deal with all sin in the world. Do we have a responsibility to be a light to the world? Yes. Whether it's standing up for life as opposed to abortion. Whether it's standing up for the best of life, as we think of so many who will stand up for alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and so many different things. Yet I hate to say I'm standing against. There are some things we have to stand against. But man, I'm for Christ. I'm for living for Him. I'm for that honest lifestyle, as opposed to having to be against everything. I'm for what Christ is for. We practice self-judgment. Local church discipline. Church discipline is no fun, but sometimes it's necessary. We think of the Matthew passage where we talk about dealing with one another and going to each other. And if you've got a problem with someone, deal with them. Let's not let it blow up. Let it get big. But sometimes the church has to deal with situations because they do get big. And God has called us to deal with it then, doesn't He? Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church or the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the church or assembly, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. But there comes a point where there are some that just they can't be part anymore. We don't want sin unchecked. How many of you struggle with sin every day? That makes most of us. Man, I wish I was you. I struggle with it all the time. But the difference is that, man, we're striving to live for God. I want his victory. Karen and I are reading a book, Unwired, Strongholds of Our Thoughts. And that there is victory in Christ. I'm not just trying to just live in my sin because it feels good and that's what I'm going to do. But man, I want God to change me. As a church, we sometimes have to deal with that. An autonomous Baptist church owns its own property. Who owns the property of Jeruel Baptist Church? We do. It's been interesting. There have been some churches and different denominations who did not agree with their denomination decisions. Especially in the last few years, we think of homosexual marriage, homosexual ordination of clergy that are homosexuals. And some of those churches said, we can't be part of that anymore. Now, I don't believe they have it all right in every area, but man, there's some things they say, we can't stand for that. They say, we are leaving the denomination. And do you know what that denomination often says? You're leaving your building too, because that's ours. And it was. There's not an association that tells us you can't put your nursery upstairs because we don't think it's best for you. Man, I'm excited. Have you looked in that nursery yet? Praise God, it's beautiful. And other things around our property, no, you can't do that, or that's just not best. Wait a second. It's us as a church self-governing underneath Jesus Christ. And we have the responsibility not just to the okay to do things with the property, whether it's fixing up the auditorium or potential building projects or other things that go on, but we have a responsibility then to take care of this building because it's God's. And he's entrusted it to us, not just some group to take care of it. So we are responsible for the bills, the lighting, the electricity, the natural gas. How many of you are thankful we have natural gas here? Right? Or the not the natural. Is it natural or is it? Yeah, it's natural, yeah. Man, I'm thankful for that heat. But we have a responsibility then to take care of those things. Why we chose a couple months ago, just some goofy things. We switched some internet things to help. It actually ends up lowering some bills and it helps with some other things. We have a responsibility that we can choose some of those things and go through those. We are before God. An autonomous Baptist church may create its own policies concerning multiple things. Use of church buildings. Who can get married in our church? Why? How about funerals? How about treatment of the LGBT community? The lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgender. They keep adding letters to the ends of that. Do we have a responsibility to make policies? Do we need to love them? Sure do. But can they just come in and take over and do whatever they want and serve in the church however they want? Wait a second. We have a responsibility, as we already said, to judge within ourselves according to the Word of God, because our first distinctive is the Bible is our only authority for faith and practice. How about do we have a responsibility to take a stand in our policies concerning abortion? Or euthanasia, alcohol in the church. Yeah. We have a responsibility to make policies. Again, as a church and our organized structure, where does that come down from? Who needs to lead in that? Okay, God does. We go back to his Word of God. And then who on earth needs to lead in that? I have to. That's an awesome responsibility. But is it a dictatorship? No. That's why I meet with the deacons. That's why we have meetings. That's why we present things to the church. Did we even vote on this whole nursery project? Yeah. And so as we, whether it's policies or changes or certain some big things that we do as a church, we do these as a church family before God. And that's how we want to remember our lives are ultimately before God. Potentially, there are other policies that we will adopt in the future. We don't know what the days ahead will hold. But there are some policies that we need to add, dealing with some of those marriage things that the world says are marriage, that God's Word says is not. There are some policies that we may put into practice in the near future concerning some of these things, and you may say, well, why do we need a policy on that? Again, we want to be very wise at what the Word of God says and our responsibility towards them that are within and them that are without, as Paul was telling the church at Corinth. An autonomous Baptist church may create its own constitution. Do we have a constitution? Yes. Have you ever read the Constitution? Good. If you haven't, I can get you a copy of that. We have it for a reason, to help govern us. There may be some things, that's how that's worded and said. Have there been amendments to the Constitution in the past? Yes. But again, there's reasons and ways we can do that. Organized ways, because we are an organized body. It's not just that the pastor can come in and say, we're canning this and getting a new one. Can our government do that? Now, sometimes they interpret the Constitution just like that. But we go back to the Constitution. There's a reason we have a Constitution. It does help direct us. And bylaws. You know, okay, so here's our Constitution, but here's what we're going to believe, and this is how we're going to practice in some of these areas. There are reasons for policies. We as Baptists include these practices in our worship services because they're exampled in the Bible. Do we have preaching? 2 Timothy 4 talks about that. How about baptism? Well, yeah, Acts 8. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ as Savior and you've never been baptized, that's a biblical thing. It's not just something we say that's important. Invitations. Do we give invitations here? Yeah. Romans 12. Paul invites people. Praying. Do we pray? Luke 19. Giving. There are all sorts of different ways people can give. I think it's an important aspect of even the worship service. Some churches just put a big box in the back and say, give as you're led to. Giving is part of our what? Worship. It's an important aspect of that. Singing. Do we sing? Yeah. Biblical things. Matthew 26, Acts 16. So we've got a lot of practices that we do. Because it goes back to the Word of God. We don't want to just do stuff because, hey, let's add that to our service. That sounds fun. According to Acts 20, verse 7, the early church assembled and worshiped on Sunday. It switched over from the Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday. What do we celebrate every Sunday then? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday, the seventh day of the week. There's a difference. In the Old Testament, they honored or they recognized the Sabbath because the seventh day, God what? Rested. In the New Testament, we recognize and celebrate the first day of the week because on the first day, Christ arose. Really, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. That's why we worship on a Sunday. So if you wondered why we worship on Sunday now instead of Saturday, there it is in a nutshell. We can worship. Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. We see that throughout the first day of the week. We'll stop here. But the reality is, as a Baptist church, we are autonomous. And we are accountable before Jesus Christ for our faith and our practice. Not just as individuals, but as a local church. We're organized together. And we can worship Him according to His way, not my way. Not even my way as a pastor. It's ultimately His way. Father, we thank You for Your love. Pray that You would continue to strengthen us, grow us, change us. Help us to honor You today. In Jesus' name, amen.